Today's reading from the Word of God comes from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. Please follow along in your own Bibles or in the Pew Bibles beginning on page 802. Romans, chapter 10, verses 12 to 15. Hear the word of the Lord. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Thanks so much, Andrew. Good morning again, everyone. I forgot to invite the offering to come forward earlier. So if you call Granite City your church, then this is an opportunity just to continue in your worship of God, giving faithfully back to the God who's given faithfully to us. So those baskets will come by. And if you want to give digitally, you can do that at the same URL you can find at grantcity.org/next steps. You can give at that URL as well. So, all right, well, we are quickly moving close to Easter, and as we move close to this most holy day in our faith, I want to use these three Sundays that we have before Easter to remind us of a couple things. Firstly, how amazing the good news is that we have, and secondly, that there actually is a mandate on us that we all need to share this good news that we have, right? If we had in our hands the cure to cancer and we were like, nah, I'm just going to kind of keep this to myself, like, that would be pretty messed up. And yet we kind of do that all the time with this incredible news that we have about who Jesus is and the life that he wants to give to all of those who are around us. About a year ago, we did a sermon series called What is the Gospel? And that's just a fundamental question in our faith and for our church. People have been asking that, particularly for the last, like, maybe 15 years or so. Say, what is the gospel? And sadly, I feel like there's too many answers out there for the gospel, when really it's as simple as what we find in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that this good news that we embrace as Christians is that Jesus is king. And that covers a lot of amazing things. Jesus has come into the world to advance his kingdom, his perfect reign, and his rule over all things. And that means a lot of unbelievable things, like bringing an end to everything that's broken and evil, cancer, racism, loneliness, discord, restoring all things to God's design, the way it should be. I think there's a feeling in all of us, that groaning that exists in our lives and in this world, that says something is not right, and we want to see things restored. A part of that gospel is ending death once and for all, and that's what we get to celebrate on Easter Sunday. And then just a reminder that Jesus is coming again. How amazing is all of that? Can somebody say amen? Like, it's a worthy gospel to rally around. It's a big gospel. It's a world-changing gospel. And I would propose to you that this is a gospel worth telling every single person that we can possibly tell. And that's not something that we do very well, and I would include myself in that. For the next few weeks, I'm not only preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself as well. Most of us are afflicted with the idea that maybe it's wrong to share our faith, or somebody else will do it. Our culture has successfully advanced the idea that it is wrong to share your faith. But as we said last Easter, we need to stop thinking about the sharing of our faith as this kind of broken cultural idea of, like, proselytizing, like, oh, we don't want that. Please, you know, keep your religion to yourself, right? And it kind of has this unhelpful idea of, like, we're pushing an agenda. But instead, just think of it as news, We're sharing news. It's news. It's amazing news. And there is a king who is way better than any Republican, way better than any Democrat, or anything that you could possibly think of. He's a loving king who already knows you intimately. All right? So you might be hiding from him, but guess what? You can't hide. He already knows you intimately, and he still chooses to love you. That is great news, and we get to share it. In the text that Andrew read for us, Paul quotes this beautiful verse from Isaiah. He says this, he says, "As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Now, over the next few weeks leading up to Easter, we're going to be talking about the beautiful privilege that we have to be bearers of good news. Imagine a people who have been beaten down by the brokenness of this world. That's not a hard thing to imagine because that's many of us, right? We know people who are like that. We feel that. We see that in a world. So imagine a people that have been beaten down, broken by this world. They've been ruled over by broken and oppressive ideas. Again, us. Their hope is gone. Their despair is great. Now imagine a herald, like somebody who comes to tell them something, who comes to these people carrying the good news that there is a king who is coming to rescue you from all of this. And church, what I want for us to understand today is that that's you, that you're the herald. You're the herald. The news that you carry is that Jesus is the coming king. And the people that you carry this news to are the people that are all around us in this world. There are nearly 8 billion people in this world. 2.5 billion of those people claim Jesus as their Lord. 5.5 billion people do not. Now, my encouragement to you is to not be discouraged by those numbers. They do not represent an impossible task. They represent for us a great opportunity. We are literally surrounded by people who have not been told about Jesus, who don't know who he is, who don't know how great our hope is that we can have. And for those people, we get to be the beautiful feet. Like, how amazing is that? How beautiful are the feet of the one who brings good news? But too often we say to ourselves, that's not for me. God's going to take care of those people who don't know him. It's none of my business. And by the way, that mentality is nothing new. Like Paul, when he was writing to the church in Rome, in this passage, he was pleading with them to share what they've heard. And what he says makes so much sense. Paul makes this amazing statement that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Like, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, you are my king. Not me or anyone else. You are my king. I am calling on you. And watch his, how amazing that. You call on Jesus' name, he said, you will be saved. It's beautiful. Say, Jesus, I want. I'm giving myself to you. I need you. He says, you will be saved. And watch his logic here because it makes so much sense, right? And it's meant to move the church to action. Look at what he says. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go tell them without being sent? That makes a lot of sense, right? Like, there's some sound logic there. Like, there is a world full, 5.5 billion people who don't know that there is a name of Jesus that they can call on and be saved. And by the way, they are our neighbors, our coworkers, our cousins, our siblings, our classmates. We live in a post-church, post-Christian culture where it's not a lot of people who grew up in church. It's not like they could say, oh yeah, like I kind of remember that from when I was a kid. There are so many people who just don't know who Jesus is. Or maybe they've heard the name, but they don't know what Jesus has done for them. How will they know unless someone tells them? They're all around us. To which we might pause and think to ourselves, that makes sense. Like, yeah, how are they going to know? Like, well, okay, it's a good thing we have pastors and we have missionaries to do that kind of thing, right? No, like, you are the missionaries. Look at Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This is the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has risen from the dead. And it says, Jesus came to them, that is his disciples, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. He's commissioning them. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus tells his disciples to make disciples. Who make disciples, and just keeps going and going and going and going until we get to you and me right here today in 2025 Quincy, Massachusetts. Like, we are charged with making disciples. We are a sent people. Paul asks, how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? Well, that's a good question. But you are sent. I am sent. You are here today because someone told you. And they told you because someone told them. We are a sent people. We're not sent on our own. Jesus actually goes with us, it says. And surely I am with you, it says, always, to the very end of the age. This Jesus is with us. Just as he was with whoever told you about who Jesus is. And check out this amazing testimony video coming out of India. This, by the way, don't queue it up just yet, but this came from the Gather conference, Gather 25, which happened just a few weeks ago, where people all around the world, it went for 25 hours around the world, and I watched as many hours of of it as I could, and this was one of the most powerful videos that I saw, and I wanted to share it with you this morning.
On the other end of our obedience is a ripple of faith waiting to happen. This is John. John carries a story of faith, a story of how Jesus saved and transformed his life. And because of that story, because of God's kindness, John felt moved to teach others how to share their story and their faith. This is how John met Thomas. Thomas came to John's training center and was inspired to make a list of 30 people he could tell about Jesus. Soon after, Thomas traveled to a nearby village and led an entire family to the Lord. Others followed, and soon a small fellowship was born. One of the women who came to that fellowship was Rena. Rena had been trying to have a baby for several years. Thomas prayed for Rena in the name of Jesus, and in the year to follow, Rena gave birth to a beautiful baby. Seeing that God had answered her prayers, Rena put her faith in Jesus and began telling others. More and more people heard what God was doing, and a second fellowship was born. One of the people who heard Rena's story was Rakesh. Several years earlier, Rakesh had been in a terrible accident that severely damaged one of his arms. Rena told Rakesh about God's power and faithfulness and prayed for his healing. And in the days to come, Rakesh's arm was restored. He too put his faith in Jesus and began to tell everyone he knew. Rakesh's neighbors were amazed and put their faith in Christ, and soon a third fellowship of believers was born. One of the men that Rakesh shared his story with was Ashok. Ashok was a drug addict, and Rakesh prayed with him for deliverance, and God answered. Ashok put his faith in Jesus, was freed from his addictions, and began to share his story of salvation. When others heard about this, a fourth fellowship was born. Ashok is the one who met Manisha. At the time, Manisha was living in deep depression. But after praying with Ashok, she surrendered her life to God and began to experience the peace and freedom that comes with knowing Jesus. Manisha began to share her story, and God used her life to start a fifth fellowship of believers. Manisha found hope because Ashok shared his story. And Ashok found hope because Rakesh shared his story. Rakesh found hope because Rina shared her story. And Rina found hope because Thomas shared his story. And Thomas was trained to share his story by John, an ordinary man like you and me, who surrendered himself to be used by God. This is how the church will continue to grow. One story, one life at a time. On the other end of our obedience is a ripple of faith waiting to happen.
Isn't that so powerful? How will they know unless someone tells them? But one of the questions that I think we need to wrestle with is, what is our expectation about what God can do? Right? Our mentality can't be, God's going to do it, so I don't need to do anything. No, it's God's intent, we just read, to go with us. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In the late 1700s, a man named William Carey lived in England at a time when the prevailing mentality was, we don't need to share the gospel. God will take care of that for us. But Carey was deeply convicted by Paul's charge, how will they know unless someone tells them? And he was undeterred by church leaders who confronted him and told him, hey, if God wants to convert the heathen, he will do that without your help or mine. Well, Carey didn't listen, thankfully, to his church leaders. I think we've got better church leaders here. I assure you, we do. But Carey did go on to do missions work in India, and he's credited for reigniting the modern missionary movement. And later in his life, he famously said that we should expect great things from God. And he said, and attempt great things for God. And church, I wonder if perhaps we fail to do both of those things. Like, what are your expectations of what God can do in this world, in this community right here, right? Can we have the kind of perspective that can step back and see how we today are connected to the great story of God? Like, we just saw this incredible video about how sharing the gospel with one person has a chain reaction that just keeps going. And that chain reaction started with a motley crew of disciples who just started telling other people what they had seen. You've got to hear this. You've got to hear this. And it keeps going and going and going and going until it reached you sitting here today. How sad would it be if that part of the chain stopped with you? Can we expect that God wants to do great things with your life in the same way that God has done great things with so many other lives? There's one more video that I want to share with you, and this is Pastor John Tyson from Church of the City in New York, and he's speaking at this recent Gather 25 conference. And I thought this testimony was so powerful and a reminder of the kind of things that we can expect God to do, and a reminder that this kind of stuff is actually happening around the world even as we speak. And so he's sharing about a closed country to the gospel, so some of the details are pretty vague, but I encourage you to check this out. We're going to watch this together.
I have a friend who's a pastor in Texas, and he does a lot of work in a particular government where it is closed to the gospel. Very, very hard place to preach the gospel. And he was up in the mountains of this country with some government officials, and they had this young woman who was given to him as a guide to help them to navigate their way through the jungles. And when the woman got a moment alone with him, she said, "Excuse me, I know you are from the US and you believe in God there. I've always thought, even though this is a communist country, I've always thought there's a God, but I've never known his name. Do you know God's name?" And he says, "Yes, I do. His name is Jesus." And he shares the gospel with this young woman, and she surrenders her life to Christ. And in this moment, she says, "Is there a book about God? Does he have a book?" And he says, "Yes, there is, but I don't have a copy of that book." And she says, "Well, that's absolutely tragic, but at least I have the hope of him in his heart." So then he goes back to Texas, tells his story to his church. And then two women in the church say, "We're going to go find her and we're going to give her a Bible in her heart language." And he's like, "You can't even get to the country. You're never going to find her." And they say, "We believe and expect that this is possible." So they do an exercise program to get ready to hike up into the mountains. They go up there and in miracle of miracles, they find her and they give her a Bible. She's there. She can't believe it. Now she has a copy of God's book, and this is incredible. And they come back, and everyone's clapping and cheering. A couple years later, she mysteriously dies. A few years later, my friend goes back to that same part of that country, and he's up there working with the State Department on the persecution of Christians in their nation. And at night, a man comes to him and says, "Excuse me, are you a Christian from the U.S.?" And he says, "Yes, I am." He says, "I'm wondering if I could talk to you." And he says, "What would you like to talk to me about?" He says, I need help being a pastor." He says, "Well, tell me what's happening." He says, "Well, a few years ago, I heard the message about Jesus, and I've been doing what it says in the Bible, and now I have 25,000 people that I'm discipling in a house church movement." He's like, "Great." He says, "Where did you learn this? Where did you learn this?" He says, "Well, I read it from God's book." "Well, where did you get that book?" He says, I got a copy of it." He says, "Can I see it?" And he pulls a Bible out, and that woman had given that man that Bible before she died, and it transformed that reading. Now, that's so amazing. Well, what do you expect's going to happen when you obey God and go to the nations? Expect him to move.
I hear amazing stories about what's happening in the developing world all the time. Churches sprouting up in red light districts in Pune, India. Entire villages in remote parts of Colombia giving their lives to Jesus. Now, right here in this country, there are, over the past year and a half or so, there have been mass baptisms happening on college campuses around this country. And I'm amazed, even right here in our local context, when people show up here on a Sunday morning, I say, "Well, how did you hear about this? How did you hear about our church?" And they say, I didn't hear about your church. I just felt something drawing me here." I said, "Man, is that a reminder that we need to share the gospel with people in some way? Like right here from this pulpit, we probably should be sharing the gospel every single Sunday because there are people coming through the door, and that might be you this morning." He's like, "I just came here, and I don't know why. I just felt like I needed to come." Like, are we going to be ready for the moment when it's not just like one person at a time coming through the door, but it's a whole bunch of people who say, "I feel the Spirit drawing me"? Like, we should expect that God is already moving in the lives of people that we know, that we're close to. We don't need to be afraid of sharing that message. We can't change their minds, don't worry about that. That's not in our hands, but God is already at work. How can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? If God is already working in someone's life, then all you need to do is say, I want to tell you about Jesus. What are your expectations about what God can do through you? It's one thing to have a big expectation for God, but William Carey also said this. He didn't just say, expect great things from God. He also said, attempt great things for God. And one of the things that Carey looked at the moment in history when he was living, he marveled at the printing press and the ability of something like a ship, a giant boat that could take people from Britain to India in just a matter of months. Can you imagine? Wow. We think about the printing press and go all the way back, you know, another century before Carey to the Reformation that happened in Europe. And sometimes we think about the Reformation and we forget that there was actually a piece of technology that had recently been invented, the printing press, that allowed the Reformation to happen. You know, maybe whoever invented that printing press, I'm a terrible historian, but maybe they deserve more credit than even Martin Luther. It's unbelievable what technology can do. And here's Carey, who's so excited, and he's looking at his church elders and saying, like, how dare you? Like, how could you say, we don't need to go to the nations? Like, we have boats that can take us there in months. It's amazing. We can get there so fast. Like, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Just a matter of months. Now, a month ago, I flew to South Africa, which is about the furthest away you can get in Africa, in 15 hours. 15 hours. Like, we can send messages around the world in a second. We can have face-to-face conversations with people on the other side of the world with almost no leg. We can use AI to talk to people who don't speak the same language. God isn't giving these tools into our hands so we can just play Words with Friends on our phones, okay? God is moving in these powerful ways so that his people can be a blessing to the ends of the earth. Abraham, the father of our faith, I started this service just reading a little bit about Abraham from Scripture. God's promise to Abraham was that he would be the father of a great nation. And he said of that great nation, he said, that great nation would be a blessing to all the people of the earth. You and I are the spiritual ancestors and recipients of that blessing. But the blessing doesn't just stop with us, right? It can't. Like, the charge rests on us to be that blessing. How beautiful are the feet of the one who brings good news. That's you. That's you. Each of you is called to steward this amazing message. The message about King Jesus who will go to the ends of the earth. But how amazing is this? You don't even need to go to the ends of the earth. You might be called. Maybe like God is stirring in you to say, go like all the way on the other side, right? But you don't need to go to the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth are right around us. The ends of the earth have come here. The globe is right here in Quincy. Your neighbors, there are neighbors that you have who don't know the hope that you have. We have every reason to expect great things from God, and there is a charge on our lives to attempt great things for God. Great things can start small. So how about we start with just making a simple list? And my encouragement, we're going to talk about this over the next few weeks, but my encouragement to all of us is before Easter, can we come up with a list of just five people in our lives five people that maybe you're already in relationship with. Hopefully you're already in relationship with them. It can be a close relationship, or it can be just be your next door neighbor. Five people in your life who don't know Jesus. And my encouragement to us is that we can be praying for these people, but before we even get to the point of praying for those people, my encouragement to you is to pray, just come before, completely bare before the Spirit and say, Spirit of God, would you place on my heart the names of people that you want me to start praying for and that you want me to reach out to and say, and tell them about Jesus or invite them to church. Easter is a great opportunity to do that because you know we're going to share the gospel. You know we're going to share about the most fundamental part of our faith. But who might the Spirit be leading you in your life to talk with, to tell them about this amazing news? How will they know unless they're told? You can have those beautiful feet. You can be the bearer of that message. Don't let that chain stop with you. So Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning and I ask that you would move in the hearts of every single one of us that's here, and my heart as well, God, that you would place on our hearts the names of people that you want for us to reach out to, that you want for us to engage with this incredible, world-changing gospel news that you've given to us in our life. God, may we not be the kind of people that just hold it on to ourselves. Move in us, God, that we might be the kind of people who attempt great things for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.